to introduce you.
Okay. Say that again, Grant.
I'd like to have a quick introduction to all these some people joining us.
Okay, go ahead.
Lena and Michael Harris are with us this afternoon, and they are having this session. Lynn and Michael, they are leading the ministry, Restoration in the Sun. They have a great prison ministry. And Lynn is gracious enough to share with us today. I know you will all enjoy, as I have done in the past. So, Lynn, welcome. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit will be in our midst. Sunshine, would you? You said you're going to be opening with prayer. Please go ahead.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us and the miracles that are continually happening, Father, all around us. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Father, for the benefits of the Sabbath and our closeness to you as your treasured possession. We ask that you would speak to us through your servants, Father, particularly Lynn and Michael and their presentation this afternoon. We ask that you'll give us listening ears and open hearts, Father, as we can inherit your blessings in a triple-fold way on your holy day. Help us to honor you, Father, in thought, in action, and in our lives right now. And as we glorify your name, you be in charge of this conversation. You be in charge of all of us, Father. We give you that authority. We give you the place in our hearts where no one else can enter. And we thank you, Father, for your divine way of teaching each one of us supernaturally to move us to higher ground with more and greater intent to serve you and to serve this world before you come. We thank you in Jesus' name now. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we just want to thank everyone for coming this afternoon. We know our churches are going to be opening soon, and we may not be able to have these precious times together, but hopefully we can keep our prayer meeting going as people go out again. For those, again, who haven't ever met me, my name is Lynn Harris, and like Grant said, my husband Michael and I do a full-time ministry, which we've been quarantined for the last few months, and God has a purpose for that as well. So today, if you could mute your phones while we're beginning, and as we have comments, please unmute and share them. We'll again at the end, we'll have time for comments and for prayer requests. So this afternoon, the talk I have planned for you that God kept bringing back to my mind the last few weeks is, what do you do when nothing seems to make sense? So if you have your Bibles, I'll be using different translations, but if you have your Bibles and want to write down the scriptures to go back to for further study or to read along, please have your Bibles with you. And the scripture reading we'll begin with this afternoon is from Habakkuk, verse 3:18. Habakkuk is right, I think, between Nahum and Zephaniah, about the fifth book from the very end of the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. Verse 3:18 says, Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Things weren't making sense to the prophet Habakkuk as he was deeply troubled by the evil he saw running rampant in Judah, just like we see going on in our nation and world today. Habakkuk brought his honest questions and concerns to God, but was not quite prepared for God's answer. You see, God was planning to use the cruel and violent Babylonians to punish Judah. And Habakkuk asked, but why, God? This doesn't make sense. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 18, when the people of God are soon to be captured and taken away to the pagan land of Babylon because of their lack of trust and obedience to God, the prophet Habakkuk was given a vision of their very near future, and he now sees everything around them has dried up, emptied out, and died off in his vision. And when Habakkuk speaks this one word, yet, in a sentence, when nothing seems to make sense to the prophet, God's prophet, who is God's spokesman for his people. Habakkuk declares, yet. Yet, though everything's completely desolate, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to rejoice in the Lord when nothing seems to make sense. So let's read the whole verse in context from Habakkuk 3, verses 16 to 19. Habakkuk 3, verses 16 to 19. And Habakkuk sees the vision of captivity in Babylon about to come upon them. And I'm reading from Amplified Bible. Verse 16 says, I heard and my whole inner self trembled. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay and rottenness enter my bones, and I tremble in my place, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade and attack us. And though the fig tree does not bloom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the field produces no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls, yet, Habakkuk says, yet, I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exaltation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds' feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on the high places of challenge and responsibility. When nothing makes sense in our life, Habakkuk chose these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, Habakkuk was trying to question why with God. He questioned God, saying that yes, the people of God in Judah, yes, we're sinful, we're disobedient, we're not trusting in you, but those Babylonians, those Chaldeans, they're much more sinful than we are. Have you ever asked God why questions? Like, where is he when a loved one dies too soon? Where is God in the midst of divorce, disease, and death? Where is he when war rages and the cities are on fire with violence like they are right now in our country? God is not offended by our need to communicate and understand things in our life and world, as Habakkuk questioned God throughout the book of Habakkuk. We always have the right to ask God about our questions in life. We may not always find all the answers, but just like Habakkuk, we must always remember that God is in control. And by the end of his questioning, Habakkuk comes to the conclusion that when nothing still makes no sense to him, he chose to say, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord Yahweh. Life is filled with why questions. We're all familiar with injustice in our society and our personal lives at times. Often the bad guy seems to always win. Why does God allow it? Habakkuk's prophecy assures us that no matter what we face in life, God never changes his personality. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never changes his promises. You can bank on them. God's holy and loving character remains the same, even when everything seems to be falling apart and makes no sense to our human minds. God will fulfill all the promises of his word, my friends, even when the future seems to hold nothing but pain. God is powerful enough to use even the bad things in our lives to bring about his good, to bring about his goodwill for us and his world. Habakkuk also chose to remember how God had led his people in the past to give them faith in God for future struggles. Looking at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And in other Bible versions, it says, the just shall live by faith. Another person in the Bible also had to trust God when nothing made sense in his young life. In the book of Genesis, the chapters between 37 and 50, the story of Joseph could be read in the Bible. We will not be reflecting on Joseph's entire life this afternoon, but today we'll be looking at the part of Joseph's story where things didn't seem to make any sense. What do you do when everything is coming at you? You don't know whether to hold on or to just let go. You're doing nothing wrong. You're applying godly principles, but being battered from every side. Or maybe you're like Habakkuk and the people of Judah. We know we're not following Jesus and his principles, but we're sure not as bad as those others who don't even acknowledge God. You ever think of that? Why should we, the people of God, be disciplined when the wicked seem to have no worries at all? In the book of Genesis, Joseph faced some of the worst difficulties anyone ever experienced. So as we look at Joseph's experience in Genesis 37, Joseph was only 17 years old when he had a dream. And then, right after that, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Next, he was trafficked in a foreign country, human traffic, in a foreign country to be a slave with no hope of ever seeing his father Jacob, his brother Benjamin, or the rest of his entire family ever again. How did Joseph respond to this abusive, jealous-spirited attack by his own brothers? Can you faintly hear him say, as Joseph was dragged to Egypt and sold as a slave to Potiphar, can you hear him faintly say, yet, even though, yet, I'll rejoice in the Lord with me. Now, moving along to another dark time in Joseph's life when nothing seemed to make sense, Joseph was faithfully serving Potiphar and his entire household. He represented God's character in all he did and those he served. But in Genesis 39:20-23, we find Joseph is now wrongfully accused of rape and could have been immediately killed by Potiphar. But instead, Joseph was given a life sentence in a dark prison dungeon, not for doing anything wrong, but for doing something right. Why, God? What about my dreams? Joseph probably asked. None of this made any sense. Joseph was punished for doing everything right. Should Joseph blame the God of his fathers and just give in to despair? How did Joseph respond to his next, quote, nothing makes sense, quote, situation and circumstance? What did Joseph do? He got busy serving God wherever he placed him. Yet in all this, the Bible keeps saying, in Genesis 45:3-5, God was with him. God was with Joseph in the prison. God was with Joseph in every text. And Joseph eventually rose to become prime minister of Egypt, second in command of the world, by trusting God when nothing makes sense. Today I'm going to give you 5 principles that I learned from Joseph's life to apply at a time when nothing seems to make sense. These principles will give you direction when your life doesn't seem to make sense either. The 5 principles we'll discuss are 1, don't demand to understand everything. 2, don't fail to be faithful. 3, don't bow to bitterness. 4, be willing to wait on the Lord. 5, don't let your dreams dissolve. Let's begin with the first lesson. 1, don't demand to understand when nothing makes sense. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to understand, but don't demand it. Sometimes the unexplainable happens. You're serving God and life falls apart. Satan whispers to you, where's your God now? When Jesus restored Peter to a position of trust and community with the disciples after he repented of denying the Lord 3 times, Jesus gave instructions to Peter to just follow me, Peter. Look at me, Peter. Keep your eyes on Jesus, Peter. When Peter asked Jesus what was going to happen to the other disciples, what about John? What's going to happen to him? Jesus was trying to tell us as well, don't look at what's going on in other people's lives. Just follow me, Jesus. This is only possible when one has a personal, ongoing love relationship with the Savior. Don't demand to understand everything going on around us when nothing makes sense. Pray for God's mind, the mind of Christ, to tell us how God wants to solve our situations, how He wants to reach the people with His love and self-control. That is when Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 must be claimed, memorized, repeated. That's when you must, quote, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You can come to a time of perplexity, just like Joseph, even though you've done nothing wrong. Trust him. Trust God to keep his promises. During times of spiritual dryness, you must patiently rely on the promises of God, not on your emotions, and realize that God is taking you to a deeper level of maturity with him. A friendship based on emotion is just shallow. The famous psychiatrist, Dr. Viktor Frankl, who spent much time in being tortured in Nazi concentration camps, he said something very true, very powerful, and very important to educate your mind to believe and practice when nothing makes sense. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Dr. Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms to be taken is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Let me repeat that. The last freedom to be taken from man is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. They can never take that from you. Did you hear that clearly? The freedom to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, by the power of Christ in us, through the Holy Spirit, we have the freedom to choose the mind of Christ and his response to our circumstances. What is his response, not ours? We overcome evil by doing good. We pray for our enemies that despitefully use us. We share love, not hate, choosing whatever is noble and of good report. Let's look at Philippians 4, 7 to 9 with instructions on how to deal with something when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to read to you from the Message translation, Philippians 4, verses 7 to 9. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Verse 8 and 9, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, things that are noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly. Think on things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you in his most excellent harmonies. Do not be troubled by trouble. Circumstances cannot change the character of God. God's grace is still in full force. He is still with you, even when you don't feel it. Right never loses, and wrong never wins. I also like how the Message Bible translation states Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. It says, "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, 'God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me.' Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run, they don't get tired. They walk, and they don't lag behind." You know, folks, there's no other bird that can fly higher than an eagle. That's why God carries you on eagle's wings, so no one else can touch your life in Christ. Again, God describes how he brought us to be his people. He spoke in Exodus 19 to Moses, Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6 from the Message Translation says, "As Moses went up to meet God, God called down to him from the mountain, said, 'Moses, speak to the house of Jacob. Tell the people of Israel this. Tell them, you have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. If you'll just listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all peoples, you'll be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine to choose from, but you're special, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what I want to tell the people of Israel, says the Lord.'" God's promises never change. He's pulled us out of stony ground. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He called you out of darkness. It's all done by God. Even Job, the most righteous man on the planet at the time, he was perplexed at this trial he was facing that didn't make sense. Even in the absence of confirming circumstances, Job chose to hold on to God's word because he knew and believed God changed not. He was again the same yesterday, today, and forever. Job said, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Job 23:12. This trust in God's word caused Job to remain faithful, even though he lost everything near and dear to his heart, as well as his own health. When nothing made sense, Job's faith, like Joseph's, was strong in the midst of pain. Job declared in Job 13:15, "God may kill me, but still I will trust in him." Just like the three young Hebrew men said, as they were thrown into a fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he saw the fourth man in the fire with them. Folks, the Christian life isn't all joy and sweetness. You won't always understand many of God's greatest saints walked in darkness for part of their lives. Corrie Ten Boom, who survived concentration camps for hiding Jews, as well as having her sister Bessie, her father, her brother, and her nephew, all die from Nazi brutality. She stated this, quote, "Even in the deepest pit, God is deeper still." So Job thought God must want to kill him. Habakkuk couldn't understand why God let evildoers get away with sin. John the Baptist wondered from his prison cell, "Can you ask Jesus if he's really the Messiah, or should we look for someone else?" Matthew 11:3. And Paul wrote to Christ believers, 2 Corinthians 4:8-11. 2 Corinthians 4:8-11. Paul said, "Yes, we're afflicted in every single way, but we're not crushed. Yes, we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. Yes, we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Yes, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Folks, we're all going to experience times when things won't make sense. We ask God, "Where are you?" But God answers our cry in 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18, he says, "But he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." Darkness can never put out the light. If God takes away the light, trust him. And so we repeat in point number one, don't demand to understand. Joseph didn't understand what God was up to, but by the last chapter of Genesis, we see it was all part of a great mosaic that God was creating. God says to each of us today in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Point number two, don't fail to be faithful. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, Genesis 39:2. Joseph wasn't a fair weather Christian. He didn't pout and get angry at God when things just didn't make sense to him. In darkness and persecution, he still faithfully served God, his masters, and his fellow man. Don't fail to be faithful. How's your faith today? Joseph remained faithful to serve God no matter who or where God placed him. Joseph would do nothing to offend God. I repeat that again. Joseph would do nothing to offend God in what he ate, drank, or whatever he did. He did nothing to not bring honor to God. Some church members, when tragedy strikes, they just drop out, fold up, leave the church family, and try to find a church with no problems. Good luck. Then they go and plant new churches with all their hurts and offenses still brewing in their hearts. Don't do that. Even when situations don't make sense, excluding violence, abuse to yourself by someone, excluding those things, even when situations don't make sense, keep singing, keep serving, keep praying, keep praising God, keep witnessing, keep worshiping and submitting and surrendering the circumstances to the Lord to save us to the uttermost. Joseph did just that, and God was with him. The same God who was with Joseph in the good times was with him in the bad times. The same God who is with you in the day is also with you in the night seasons. To restate point number two, don't fail to be faithful. Revelation 2:10 says that be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. Revelation 12:11 also says, and they overcame and conquered the accuser because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith even when faced with death. Don't fail to be faithful. Point number three, don't bow to bitterness. We never hear whining, bitterness, or complaint from Joseph. Don't allow bitterness to get a foothold in your life in any area. You know what a foothold is? When you just leave the door a crack open so the evil spirit can come in and tempt you and accuse you and lie to you. Don't give the devil a foothold to bitterness. Take it to the Lord to give you the mind of Christ and the love of God for our situation before bitterness can get into our hearts. Pray for those who despitefully use you. If you can't think of a prayer for someone who just caused you so much grief, you can pray this prayer. Father, let them see the face of Jesus. You can say that until God heals your hurt and pain. One of the greatest tests in life is not how you react when you're punished for doing wrong, but when you're persecuted for doing right. How do you act then? 1 Peter 2:20 says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with great patience? But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Bitter people are not nice to be around. So point number three, don't bow down to bitterness. Joseph's forgiving and surrendered attitude was one of the reasons God was always with him, even when nothing made sense while in slavery and prison. He had a forgiving and surrendered attitude, one step at a time. Point number four, be willing to wait. And as we read previously in Isaiah 40, 30 to 31, it said, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So for 2 years, Joseph remained in prison for doing nothing wrong. But the God who had been with Joseph when he was a boy was with him when he was forgotten in prison. We have to believe that God will bring you out in his time. He knows where you are. And Matthew 10:30 even says that the very hairs of your head are all numbered by him. The very hairs are counted by God. That's how much he cares about the details of your life. And if you need more encouragement, read all of Psalm 139. But I'm just going to pick out verses 23 and 24. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of your thoughts about me. If I should count your thoughts of me, they would outnumber the sand. I don't know about you, but being raised in Hawaii, there's a lot of sand out there. And God's thoughts are greater than all the sand in the world about you. When I awake, I'm still with you. Verses 23, 24 say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Try me. Allow circumstances that don't make sense. Allow circumstances. Try me. And know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God has to allow trials. He has to allow circumstances to burn the dross out of us, to cause us to finally be able to say, my perfect love for God casts out all fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, and trials and circumstances allow us to be tested if there's anything in us that's not of God. So in verse 46 of Genesis, Joseph was 17 years old when he first had his dream from God, and now he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 13 long years is a long time to be waiting and wondering when nothing seems to make sense. When you don't understand, don't get exasperated. God is never early or late, but he's always on time. Over and over in the Bible, we're told to wait upon the Lord. Be willing to wait. Psalm 37, verses 5 to 9. Psalm 37, 5 to 9. God says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's what we're doing today on the Sabbath day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. There's a lot of fretting going on in this world. Fretting. We're told not to fret, not to worry, not to be anxious. It's not a suggestion. It's a command of God. Verse 9, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. The gospel song says, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Point number 4, I repeat, when you don't understand, be willing to wait on the Lord. Our last point today is don't let dreams dissolve. Going back to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail to come. Though it tarries, though the vision tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Don't let your dreams from God dissolve. Wait on the Lord. Continue to pray and prepare as though they were going to come to pass, and God will direct our paths. In Joel 2:28, God gives the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 28 says, it will come about after this, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. On a side note for those of you, tomorrow is the day of Pentecost. And when Jesus told his disciples that before they could go out and fulfill the great commission that he gave them, what did he make them do? He made them gather in the upper room and wait. They had to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to wait to receive the Holy Spirit also. That word wait shows up again over and over. Before we can go out, they waited 10 days praying, crying, worshiping together, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the dream planted in Joseph's heart when he was a teen finally came true in Genesis 41:37 through Genesis 44:8. Joseph never forgot the dream that God gave him. He didn't let his dreams dissolve in prison and as a slave. And God never forgot the dream either. Just as God did not fail Joseph, God will not fail you. A wise man once said, don't doubt in the dark, for God has shown you in the light. For one day God will make everything right. I've read the back of the book, Book of Revelation. Read it. Read it. It says there'll be a blessing on those who read and hear the word of God in Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. Don't lose your faith when life doesn't make sense to you. That doesn't mean it won't make sense one day. So to review what we learned from the life of Joseph in Habakkuk, when life doesn't make sense, the five principal lessons we discussed are: 1, don't demand to understand. 2, don't fail to be faithful. 3, don't bow to bitterness. 4, be willing to wait. 5, don't let your dreams dissolve. For me, when nothing seems to make sense, I instinctively turn to the hymns of God's people who wrote from inspiration God's words when nothing made sense to them as well, such as the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." When this man went through tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, all of his children had died. The fires of Chicago have wiped out all his property. Just he and his wife are left. And he wrote a hymn as he crossed over the watery graves of his children in the ocean where they died. He wrote these words of inspiration for you and I. "It is well with my soul." Read that song and read that hymn. Listen to it over and over. I also love to listen to the hymn by poet Annie Johnson Flint, who was just blind, crippled, bedridden, when she penned these words, "He giveth more grace." Let me read you a few lines. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. For his love has no limits, and his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again." When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. For his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. You see, folks, we have boundaries. Our love is limited. We have to have the love of God. We have limits on how we're going to deal with people. We have conditions on how we deal with people. God's love is unconditional. If you want the love of God, read 1 Corinthians 13 and memorize it. Pray it. But you want only the best for people. You don't keep a record of people's wrongs. You forgive and put it in the sea of forgetfulness where all your sins are, all your shortcomings, all your hurtful things, all the things you could have, should have done for God that you didn't do. They're all in that sea of forgetfulness. We need to put everyone else's in the sea of forgetfulness, my friends. Only God can give you that forgetful ability. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. For his boundary has no limits unto men. But out of his riches in Jesus, he gives and he gives and he gives. And again, he wants to give us all the love of God. Daily we have to go and let him fill our cup. Empty your self cup so there's room for God's cup of love. And when nothing seems to make sense to you, as I close, read 2 Corinthians 12:9. From the Amplified Bible, I read 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul says, "But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." The word "sufficient" means more than you're ever going to need in Greek. "And my loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power, God's power, is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weaknesses." God says, "My power is more effective when you know you're not able to deal with it. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me." So just as Habakkuk stated in chapter 3, verse 18, when nothing made sense, he said, "Yet I will trust in the Lord." Friends, God's work of saving souls is to extend to the farthest ends of the earth. It's not supposed to stop with us. Stay in quarantine the rest of our lives. Don't go out. Don't worry about fear, fear, fear. We need to go out and extend God's love, and he will protect us. He says the snakes can't bite you. No pestilence can get near your dwelling. If you're doing it for God, he will take the consequences and protect us. You have been, he told us, Christ said, you have been my witnesses. To his disciples, Christ is telling you, if you're his disciple, you've been my witnesses of my life of self-sacrifice on behalf of the world. You have witnessed my labors for mankind, Jesus says. You have seen in my life and that all who come to me, Jesus says, all who come to me, you've seen me, confessing their sins, I will in no wise cast them out. All who will may be reconciled to Christ, restored to a right relationship with God, and receive everlasting life today. If you want a right relationship to God, be reconciled to Him, to those you who may be unreconcilable, I want to pray today that we will have that reconciled life in Christ. Jesus then said unto you, His disciples, I commit this message of mercy. Go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. You'll be able to have the power through the Holy Spirit to raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. All who believe are to be gathered into one church. Let us prepare our lives right now for the greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the day of Pentecost is celebrated among all believers tomorrow, May 31st, 2020. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much that in a world where it seems like nothing makes sense, even being born, I questioned over and over, what was I doing here? What am I here for? Why did I get born? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? Only in Christ does this world make sense. Only with the mind of Christ, learning of Him, learning the Word of God, seeing how you've led your people in the past. Let us never forget how you've led your people in the past and your teachings so we can look back and not forget that you're going to lead our lives one day at a time until you come in the clouds and we see you face to face. Father, I pray for everyone listening. Whatever doesn't make sense in their life right now, in Jesus' name, I commit it to you. We put it on the altar right now. We surrender it. And Lord, as we give you and cast all our burdens upon you right now, you said, I want to give you my yoke. My light yoke harnessing us to Jesus, the light yoke of trusting Him, believing in Him, loving Him, learning of Him, reading the Word of God, believing the promises. It says, all who believe, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. You believe, Jesus said, you'll be saved. Father, I pray right now that any person, every family represented here, the Holy Spirit will go in a powerful way and fill them with an urgency to draw near to you, to fall in love with Jesus, to ask for the Holy Spirit to be blessed and enlightened and know what their purpose is. Whatever doesn't make sense, Lord, we give it to you. Heal the broken hearts, bind the wounds, move anything out of our lives that is distracting and keeping us from doing what you want us to do. I rebuke all the distractions from social media, internet, TVs, whatever it is that's keeping us from reading and knowing the Word of God and going out and loving somebody for Jesus' sake, move it out. May there be nothing between our soul and our Savior. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, friends, thank you for sharing. And if anybody would like to share something that didn't make sense in their life and how God has helped them, or like to pray, also ask for prayer requests, please feel free to share something that may have spoke to you as